welcome to episode 42 of the Chirping the Cats podcast, and it's our season preview podcast. I'm your host, David Dwork, here with you once again, and on this episode, we're going to hear from Panthers general manager Bill Zito, who touched on a bevy of topics and made me even more excited for the start of this season, which I honestly didn't even think was possible. But before we get to Billy, I wanted to quickly go through the opening night roster that was finalized on Monday. We'll start with the obvious part of the roster, which was the top two lines that we knew were kind of locked in from the start. The top line of Sasha Barkov centering Carter Verhaeghe and Sam Reinhart. I know I've said this a few times already, but Barkov looks like he is ready to reach a new level this season, if that's even possible, and hit another gear. He has looked so good throughout training camp in the preseason. He looks like his usual elite self, except maybe even a little bit better. He's getting pucks to the net much more consistently. He's always been like a pass-first playmaker kind of guy. We've always said, man, if you could put like the Alex Ovechkin mentality of shooting into Sasha Barkov with the rest of his game, it could be like ridiculously amazing. And while, you know, he's got a ways to go before he gets to Ovi's thought process when it comes to shooting the puck, we are seeing, I don't want to say a different Barkov, but maybe more of an evolved Barkov, because he still plays the amazing 200-foot two-way game that he's always going to give you. But if he can shoot a little bit more, and maybe we'll look fairly more often to take the shot instead of making the perfect pass, it's crazy to think about what we might see from Sasha. And just talking about the line overall, it's likely going to have some ridiculous possession numbers, like to the point where watching them in the preseason, I started calling it the keep away line, just because they always had the puck and they were always in the offensive zone, and some of the shifts where they kept controlling the puck and kept cycling with it, it was just ridiculous. So if that all carries over to the regular season, man, is that going to be a fun line to watch if you're a Panthers fan. The second line, which we pretty much knew as well, was Sam Bennett centering Jonathan Huberdeau. And the only question mark heading into camp on that line was Owen Tippett on the right wing. And that question mark got erased pretty quickly, as it was clear Owen Tippett had picked up where he left off at the end of last season, where he was playing the best hockey of his young career. And he looks like he's ready in the sense of taking another step. It looks like Owen Tippett's ready to do just that. He's growing into a very, very solid winger. And on a line with two guys, based on how they played together last year, elite. It comes to mind when you think of the chemistry and what Jonathan Huberdeau and Sam Bennett were able to achieve last year. But I mean, with Owen Tippett, you're seeing a guy who's now using his speed even more than he ever really had. I never thought of him as a fast paced, speedy wing guy, more so as, like a hard shot, accurate guy, go to the net, nose for the net type of guy. But now we're seeing a playmaking Owen Tippett, a puck possession driving Owen Tippett, still with that ridiculous shot. So just a ton of excitement on those Panthers top two lines. The third line. So we're kind of learning this week. It looks like, we'll see for sure, but it looks like that third line center spot is going to go to rookie Anton Lundell. He missed the start of training camp after suffering a minor injury at the end of development camp. So, got off to a late start. Weren't really sure what we were going to see from Lundell. We've seen him succeed at every other level he's played at. We saw him succeed at World Juniors. We saw him succeed in Liga. We saw him succeed at the development camp. Now he's starting to show that same poise and that same maturity as a 20-year-old with the NHL guys, which is just spectacular. I said it before, he kind of hit the ground running once he started training camp. And I'll tell you what, every time that we have talked to Joel Quenneville about Anton Lundell, I've never seen Q kind of light up and smile and just talk about him in this way, almost like a proud parent, the way he kind of describes what he brings to the table and the attributes. It could just be that it's so surprising to see what Lundell can do as a guy who literally just turned 20 years old this month. And he's going to get a chance to play with a couple really good guys too, because he's going to have Frank Vatrano on his left and Patrick Hornquist on his right. It's an interesting line. I'm curious how it's going to work, because you got Vatrano, who's this speedy, kind of a streaky scorer throughout his career. We'll see if he can straighten that out this season. But, with Vatrano, it's going to be high intensity, a lot of energy, a guy who's not afraid to really go anywhere on the ice. And same on the other wing with Patrick Hornquist. I mean, the guy, He sweats grit. He loves going into the boards battles. He's all elbows. He's that guy. You love having this guy on your team. And we knew it when he came here. So you've got the speedy guy on one side. You've got the gritty guy going to the net on the other side. And then you've got Lindell, who's this possessionally sound, high hockey IQ guy that his confidence should only grow. And being surrounded by these veteran players should help nourish that. And it's also not a bad thing flanking this kid, playing his first NHL action, this kid from Finland, flanking him with a couple of guys that really don't take any shit from anybody anytime they're on the ice. I mean, when you think of the Panthers lineup and you think Patrick Hornquist, you know, okay, this is a guy who pisses everybody off in the other team. But Frank Vatrano, he'll get under your skin too, and he's not afraid to mix it up at all. So I think it's a couple of good, solid veterans to have flanking Anton Lindell on that third line, if that is in fact how Q starts the regular season. The fourth line, as it looked in practice this week, and, you know, it's a little bit fluid as we get there, but right now it's it was Eetu Lusterainen, who had got moved down from the third line to the fourth line, still playing center, and he's got Joe Thornton, Jumbo, on his left, and he's got Anthony Duclair, speed, on his right. And then the extras would be Ryan Lomberg was an extra, and that's just going to be a matchup, because Ryan Lomberg has looked really good throughout training camp, like really phenomenal. Like, the energy is there, the speed is there. It looks like he's pushing his offensive pace a little bit more. So I'm very excited for Ryan Lomberg this season. And if he doesn't dress on opening night, I wouldn't read anything into that in terms of what he's going to be counted on to do this season. And then Mason Marchment, that's somebody who would, I think, absolutely be in the lineup if he was healthy. So you wonder how it would all shake out when you think about that. Not particularly the bottom six, but that bottom line. Who would be stepping out if Marchment was healthy? I don't know. Because Mason Marchment, he's such a solid player. He was getting a lot of look on the penalty kill, which I think they were going to have him do that when the regular season started. So it's a good problem for the Panthers to have, as we've said over and over and over again. And then just kind of getting back to that fourth line for a second, with Joe Thornton particularly, you know, we've seen that he's played mostly wing since coming to Florida, which, you know, I think that it's kind of giving Q an opportunity to see what he has in Jumbo without putting too much on his plate at first. We know, certainly, throughout his career, what he can handle. There's no doubt. But, you know, let's see where he's at now. He is 42 years old. The last two seasons have been anything but normal when it comes to the NHL, and he was on two different teams. So, you know, I would say, you know, caution at first with Jumbo, which is fine because the Panthers can afford to do that. It's not like they brought this guy in and he's got to be out there centering their second line and on their number two power play. Not at all. Q could end up playing Jumbo for, you know, 10, 12 minutes the first few games, and it won't hurt the team at all. And then also, just before I move on from the forwards, with Eetu Lusterainen, really, you're going to have to keep a close eye on him to see what he brings, because talking to Q earlier this week, he kind of said, you know, Lusterainen got off to a great start last season and then kind of fell off a cliff. That's my words, not Q's words. But basically, he had this really good start, and then late in the season, he couldn't even get in the lineup, let alone get back onto that third line. He's looked better during training camp, not as good as last season, but better than how he finished last season, which is fine. And I mean, you know what he does. He does a lot of the little things well, and he's just a solid two-way five-on-five player. He's a presence on the penalty kill. He doesn't really show up offensively as much as other potential options in the lineup, which is where you would think Anton Lindell would get the leg up on him. And as I said, it's just the inconsistency that he's going to have to fix. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with Eetu. And then also, in that same realm of players, you know, just to touch on Anthony Duclair, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter kind of venting their frustrations about Duclair being on the fourth line and not being utilized elsewhere. And, I mean, just looking at this roster, where else is he supposed to go? Anthony Duclair, for all the talent and skill he has not performed at the level of anybody in the top six. Maybe Owen Tippett, but I mean, even there, not really. Like, Duke is very streaky. Like, he scores in bunches for sure. And the thing is, like, when he shows up and you notice what he does, yes, it's eye-popping that how good he can be, but where is that all the time? Which is what you see from a Barkov and a Huberto, and what we saw from Bennett after he came to the Panthers, and what we saw from Verhaeghe most of last season on that Barkov line. And you don't see it from Duclair for all the talent he has. So when you talk about a guy that really needs to bring the consistency and show that he can play at that same level every day, I think if you start to see that from Duclair, then you can really make an argument for moving him up on the lines. But right now, I think bottom six is where he's going to be. And honestly, I like the idea of having the two veterans on that third line with Lindell than I do having an inconsistent Duclair. And I hope he proves me wrong, and I hope he comes out and has this amazing year. But as it stands right now, I have no problem with him being on that fourth line. And just like, as I said, with Mason Marchment, just when he comes back, where's he going to end up? I don't know. We're going to have to find out. And the same goes for Maxime Mammon, who's starting the year on the injured non-roster list. He looked good in camp before he got hurt. He's waiver exempt, but remember, he left the KHL just to come back and play in Florida. He's, you know, to get his NHL action. He got a one-way deal. So you figure that when Mammon is healthy, he'll at least get a shot at this level. But we'll see, because the roster is at 23, and if Mammon goes on to the active roster, someone has to go. And, I mean, you wonder who that might be. It's a good problem to have, you know, a lot of talent around, but it can get a little tricky, I'm sure. So we'll see how it plays out. Like, you know, injuries are probably going to pop up, as they always do. Obviously you don't want to root for injuries just to help you manage your lineup, but that's hockey, right? So we'll see how it plays out. Right now, Florida's heading into the season with a stacked forward group, and it just looks awesome. Talking about the defense for a second, I mean, look, Ekblad and Weider, number one pairing on the team, one of the best pairings in the entire NHL. They're going to gobble up tons and tons and tons of even strength minutes. They're going to match up against the best lines on the opposition pretty often. And then you get Ekblad, who's also going to get all the, you know, power play 1 minutes, quarterbacking the power play. And then Weider's going to get a lot of penalty kill minutes because he's a feature guy in the PK. So both of them are going to play a ton of minutes this season. Not that they're not equipped for it. I mean, that's your number one duo, so they should be. But, you know, it's nice that Florida's got that kind of reliability with their top pairing. And then the bottom four defense, it's like club reunion right now, because you've got Gus Forsling back with Radko Gudas. They played a decent amount together last year, a little bit in the regular season, and they wrapped up the playoffs playing together once Keith Yandel was healthy scratched three of those last four games. It was Forsling and Gudas. And Forsling, you know, just ascending talent on both ends. I mean, we saw him growing last year. He was rewarded with a three-year contract, and it's just exciting to think what he can bring. And then with Gudas, I mean, you know what you're getting from Gudas. You're a solid defensive, stay-at-home defender, not afraid to move the puck, led the league in hits. Maybe he's not the best exit passer, but he's not afraid to push it. He's not afraid to get it out of the zone. And just reliable. And not to mention the fact that, you know, he's one of the scariest MFers in the NHL, and nobody wants to mess with a team that has Radko Gudas on the bench. So, yeah, love Gudas. And then the bottom pairing, as it looks right now, Brandon Montour and Marcus Nuttavaara, that pairing looked really good last year. I don't even want to, you know, I'm going to backtrack for this. I don't want to call them the bottom pairing. I'm just going to say that, you know, because it's really 2A and 2B with the defensive pairings. But that Montour-Nuttavaara pairing had me really excited at the end of last year, partially because it was the best that we'd seen Nuttavaara play all year in his first year with the Panthers, was when he was paired up with Montour. Could that have been just because he was finally, you know, fully healthy and ready to go at that point? Yeah, so that could be a part of it. Probably was a part of it. But, you know, him and Montour just looked very solid together. They complemented each other's play, and you could see that the communication was improving. And with Montour, I mean, he's looked very comfortable running that second power play. You know he's a solid skater. He's always got his head up, looking up the ice. And he's got some really good puck skills for a blue liner. Yeah, I got to admit, just watching him work the blue line during training camp in the preseason, getting to see a little bit more situational than we got to see him in last year, and it was impressive. So I'm pretty optimistic and bullish on what Montour can bring. He can get over-aggressive at times in the defensive zone, chasing the puck, which is something that I think working with Joel Quenneville and working within his systems, he'll be able to be a little bit more responsible. But as I've said multiple times with Brandon Montour, whoever he's paired up with, whether it was Marcus Nuttavaara, whether it was Gus Forsling, communication is going to be the key. But I'm pretty happy with how the Panthers' defense is shaping up, even with Kevin Knutten is going to start the season on injured reserve. Not really clear on how long he could be out. Quenneville said earlier this week that Knutten could start skating by the end of the week, which just because he's skating or joining practice doesn't necessarily mean he'll be game ready. So yeah, it could be a week or two, maybe more. It's hard to say. It doesn't seem like it's anything long term, but in the meantime, the Panthers did make a trade for that seventh defenseman on the roster with Vancouver. They traded for Olli Juolevi former fifth overall pick from 2016. Honestly, I'm not really totally sure what to expect because I have not seen Ulevi play. I can't remember seeing him play much at all other than what I've been able to dig up over the last couple of days. But I also trust that Bill Zito wouldn't have brought him in and been giving him a roster spot if there wasn't something there. I've spoken to some people who cover the Canucks and have watched him play over the last few years. And from what I've been told, his defensive play improved last season. And it really wasn't as bad from what I've been told as the conception is, the belief over, you know, this big aura that he's like a draft bust or whatever. Defensively, it sounded like he was really starting to come along, and it was more like his offense that was lagging behind, which here in South Florida, that's not going to be a big problem. Like, he's not going to be relied on. Like, the defenders are relied on to push the pace and to contribute, but it's more the systems than it is the individual efforts. So I think he's going to be in a good position here to learn, to maybe get a little bit more comfortable, because look, there's a big difference than dealing with us media guys here in South Florida and pretty much anywhere else in the NHL, but particularly you're talking about the Canadian teams and the scrutiny that they have to face day in and day out. And this kid's going to come here and feel like he's in a vacation land. So we'll see how it goes with Ole. It's always nice to have another Ole J on the team. It worked out pretty well the last time the Panthers had one. And just thinking about the other Ole J, Ole Jokinen, and he's been doing a pretty good job head coaching Mikkelin in Liga. They got off to a really good start, and if you're not already keeping an eye on them and giving them some likes and some loves, make sure to do that, because we sure love Ole Jokinen. All right, so real quick, before I jump into the Bill Zito stuff, one thing I did want to mention is some wagering odds, some betting odds. I went over to my friends over at Bovada.com, or actually not even, I think it's Bovada LV or whatever it is, wherever I go to place my wagers in my bookmarks. That's where I went to check out some of these odds that I'm just going to share with you and let you kind of debate and think what you want. If you have any comments, hit me up on Twitter at David Dwork, and we can talk about it. But the big one, the first one, we'll start with the Panthers Stanley Cup odds, which is plus 2,000. Now, what that means, quick explanation. If something is plus 2,000, then you win $2,000 if you bet $100. So if something, like, for example, the Panthers' chances at winning the Eastern Conference is plus 900. So if you bet $100, you would win $900. Or if you bet $10, you would win $90. Follow me? I hope so. I'm hoping that I'm following myself right now. So anyway, as I said, Panthers Stanley Cup odds are plus 2,000. Eastern Conference champion odds plus 900. To win the Atlantic Division, it's just plus 400. So you're pretty deep. I mean, for the Panthers, that's great. You know, they probably never had, you know, odds this good. Now, getting into the individual stuff, you've got Sasha Barkov for the Hart Trophy at plus 2,200. Aaron Ekblad also in the Hart Trophy discussion at plus 6,600. Jonathan Huberdeau plus 3,300. And believe it or not, Patrick Hornquist was on the list at plus 10,000. So if you bet $100 on Patrick Hornquist to win the Hart Trophy and he pulls it off, you will get a nice little $10,000 payday for your trouble. Art Ross Trophy, Jonathan Huberdeau and Sasha Barkov were both a plus 6,600. So maybe not a lot of faith that they're going to go out there and lead the league in scoring, but they're still in the conversation. Calder Trophy, Rookie of the Year, Spencer Knight, plus 800. I think if Knight gets playing opportunity, certainly not out of the realm of opportunity for Spencer Knight to be in the Calder conversation. Another guy who's expected to be in the talk, head coach Joel Quenneville for Jack Adams, head coach of the year, Q is plus 700. I've heard a lot of preseason talk about Q getting some love for Jack Adams. I've also heard Bill Zito getting love for GM of the year that he should have won last year. Although there aren't any odds for the GM of the year that I saw, but I still think that of all the award that went down last year, and I believe it's the broadcasters that vote on the GM of the year. Bill Zito got shafted. Like, what he did with the Panthers last year, I think will be more impressive than even if the team goes out and wins a Stanley Cup this year. I think his offseason last year was more impressive than kind of cementing it this year, which, I mean, he, you know, was getting, signing some of the guys to long-term deals, bringing in Sam Reinhart. So anyway, a little sidetrack there. The Norris Trophy, which Aaron Ekblad was on a path towards at least being certainly in the conversation, he would have been a top three, maybe top two, depending how the season would have ended. He could have won the Norris Trophy, but he's a plus 2,000 for the Norris right now. Mackenzie Wieger is a plus 3,500. So both of them kind of, you know, getting a little look there. The Rocket Richard Trophy to lead the league in scoring. Barkov is plus 3,000, and Sam Reinhart was given plus 5,000. So possibility of Vegas thinking Reinhart's going to be the beneficiary of some pretty goals this year. Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And then the Vezina Trophy. This had to make me laugh. The same exact odds for both of Panthers. The Panthers goaltenders Spencer Knight and Sergei Bobrovsky were both plus 3,000, which, you know, pretty decent odds for either one to take the trophy and run with it. Personally, I would like to see the Panthers goalies win the Jennings Trophy and combined lead the league in was it save percentage or goals against average? I really should know that, but either way, to see the Panthers goaltenders have that kind of success would be pretty awesome. Okay, so moving on to the Bill Zito part of our season preview podcast. As I mentioned, on Tuesday of this week, today is Tuesday, it's the day the regular season is opening, the media down here had a chance to speak with Panthers GM Bill Zito, and he touched on tons of topics, some really good stuff from Zito, and I really just wanted to share some of the audio with you, because, you know, on one hand, I could have written a story and typed up some of the quotes and kind of framed it in that way, but since Bill Zito has been hired here, I really enjoy when he speaks, because he gives these, you could tell he thinks through what he's saying, and it's just well thought out answers from a guy who really knows his shit. And so I just wanted to give it to you in that context and how he says it, and just let you experience it the way I do. And before we get started, just a quick thank you to the Florida Panthers and Panthers media for providing the audio, because the quality that I got on my iPhone recording these pressers is not nearly as good as what the Panthers provide to the media if we need it. And in this case, I'm using it for the podcast. So thank you again to the Panthers. All the Bill Zito audio you are going to hear comes from them today. So thank you guys for the clean sounding audio. So the first thing that Zito spoke on was the differences from this time last season, when he was entering his first season as Panthers GM, reworking the roster and all, you know, dealing with all that maneuvering through the pandemic and all that stuff, and how it's changed to this year, where, you know, obviously things are a little bit more calm. He has a much better grasp on the team and so on and so forth. So I'll let Bill Zito break it down for you. Now, as for the changes that he's noticed around the team, both in the dressing room and on the ice, Zito described an environment in which the players and coaches are, like, extremely focused on getting better every day, like working hard and trusting that good things are going to happen just by doing those things. But one thing is clear, and that's the bar around here has been raised. Zito was also asked about what he had hoped to accomplish during the offseason. Then that's an offseason that saw him add a pretty big piece in Sam Reinhart. One thing that has been quite noticeable, I'm sure, to Panthers fans near and far is how many hockey experts out there are picking the Panthers to not only make the playoffs, but also make some noise once in them. That kind of attention and pressure can sometimes negatively impact a team, but Zito doesn't see that happening in South Florida. This next bite strikes a similar chord to the first one I played, but this time when Zito was asked what he's noticed differently with the team, the answer he gave was one I thought would be best to hear in his words exactly. One thing Zito has done continuously since arriving in South Florida is give credit to those who came before him. Yes, Zito absolutely made great move after great move since being hired by the Panthers, but he also inherited a pretty damn good foundation. Now, one thing that I have noticed between talking with Zito and talking with Panthers players is that Zito is very present with the players. He's often asking them questions and picking their brains and staying in tune with the locker room and the state of the team. Based on the results, it's clearly a practice that's working, right? As seemingly every player he's added to the locker room has fit in right away, both on and off the ice. Now, one thing that I've been saying for a long time, and really something that anyone from South Florida should know, is that this is a town, area, region, whatever, that follows winners. Now, last season, the Panthers did a lot of winning, and now they're getting a lot of attention as a team believed to do a lot more winning, not only this season, but for years to come. And to that point, Zito said that ticket sales at the FLA Live Arena are starting to pick up, and the excitement around town is clearly growing. And for those of you who still think hockey can't work in South Florida, Bill Zito sees things a little differently. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever been more pumped for the start of a Panthers season. The stars are aligning in South Florida for the Panthers to move into a category that this team has never really been a part of. Perennial playoff team and championship contender. It appears that that is where the Florida Panthers are at this moment. Now all they have to do is go out on the ice and turn the fantasy into a reality. And on that note, I'm going to wrap up this episode of the Chirping the Cats podcast. If you're a fan of my work and or the Panthers, and I assume if you're still listening right now, you must be. You can find all my written Panthers coverage on Local10.com. You can download the Local10 app as well. All my stories, articles, all that good stuff. It's all available for you there. And if you don't already, please give me a follow on Twitter at David Dwork for all my daily coverage of the Panthers. And I love interacting with you guys, so please don't be shy to say hi or, you know, drop a line. Let me know what you're thinking about the team. Also, please hit the subscribe button on the podcast. Leave a good rating. It is very much appreciated. And yeah, that's it. So until next time, everybody, please take care of yourselves. Stay safe. Be kind, and of course, stay cool. Go Panthers!